From the Land de Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 8th day of October 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting from Waco, Texas. Matt Bennett of AgMarket.net will help us take a look at the cash grain situation. We'll preview tomorrow's USDA crop production and WASD, or World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate reports as well. And we'll talk about the weather forecast today. It's an important one in South America, Ukraine, Russia, the Black Sea area, the Great Plains states, and of course, right here in the Midwest where harvest is taking place. Mike Tenora of T-Storm Weather in Chicago will join us on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
December corn for the day, a penny and three quarters lower at 387. The March at 394 and three quarters, 2.5 lower. In July, down 2.25 at 403. November beans, a penny lower at 1050. January at 1048, down 3.5. And July there at 1018, down 6.75. Bean oil, 7 cents lower. The bean meal, down $1.80 for the day. July wheat, soft red, 12 lower at 593. Hard red down 14.5 at 548 and three quarters. Live cattle futures down 47.5 cents at 109.70. Feeders were off 45 cents for the day, and the lean hogs finished 47.5 cents higher at $77.35 for 100 pounds. Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas, now joins us to talk about the marketplace. Dan, you've been telling us this is the time of the year the thing might top. We're still going. What do you think?
Well, I think we still have time. I get nervous every time we get close to a government report, and the October report is just around the corner, and they can go either way. But I love the trend. The trend is your friend. I like the overall technical action. I like my cyclical chances. Yeah, for strength, I guess at this point I'm going to take a couple weeks at a time. A few months ago I was willing to go months at a time, but now we're getting to the point I'll take a couple weeks at a time. I guess I'm willing to kind of hang in here and see what first part of November brings. But I can talk some crazy numbers just looking at the technical side of the market. I mean, you take a look at lead futures corn, and this is a contract that I switch over at the start of expiration. So it doesn't go into expiration and then goes on to the next one. But you take a look at lead corn, which would be December corn at this point in time. I think you could probably go, let's see here. I think we could probably go up into the 4.25 range on these corn. And then I would be talking probably sometime a midpoint. We'll talk about November 11th, give or take 10 days as my timing target, and my upside target then would be about 4.25. Go over here and we take a look at some, let's take a look at what beans would be. And of course, this would probably be based upon the January contract, because if we go into November, my lead futures contract would switch over to the January contract. And I guess I look at the long-term retracement level, and this would be off of the 12 high and off of the 19 low. A 38% retracement level could take us back to $11.75. So I'd be talking about 11.50 type on the beans. I think you could probably even read that on a daily chart, weekly chart. Yeah, weekly chart, if you'd want to use this 1020 as a midpoint, and maybe want to take it off of maybe the low that we had here in July, let's say call it 860. Everything kind of looks to me like you know, November Beans has a shot at something above 11, 11 and a half area. We'll kind of go from there. Timing would be the same thing. That first part of November, give or take 10 days, November 11th. So it kind of looks to me at this point in time, be careful after the election, regardless of who wins. Markets are not necessarily a red, white, blue issue, especially ag commodities, but all my timing work would indicate that anytime after the election, it could get a little little nerve-wracking. We'll have to see what USDA tells us here on the October crop report. And then, of course, the November report usually is not that big a deal, because the October report usually does all of the major changes, if there are major changes to be done as far as yield, harvested acres, planted acres, all this kind of stuff. So November report is not that big a deal. But then you start getting into holidays. Then you start getting into cash flow movement. A lot of farmers like to move grain before the first of the year. So then the pipeline begins to get filled. So then you begin to get into some weaker basis levels. And as long as grain is moving into the pipeline, then there's not that much buying power underneath the market. So looking at my cyclicals and my technicals, I guess I still want to stay positive at least into the first part of November. And we'll kind of go from there, Todd.
You're staying positive, but do you want to go ahead and make cash sales and then decide to re-own it on paper in some way, or do you just want to ride it out?
Well, in the near term, since I don't have any clients to lose, since I don't have no farmer clients to lose, 90% of my farmer clients that I've had over the years are 6 feet under. So I don't have anything to lose. I guess I would tell you to hang on for a while. I'm willing to hang on for a couple of weeks. I wouldn't sleep too well probably the night before the October crop report, because I just don't have a lot of faith in USDA's numbers anymore. Since my generation retired back in 07, 08, I don't have a lot of faith in what they publish nowadays. So I get a little nervous, but I like my cyclical chances. I like my technical chances. The demand factors are good under here, so I'm willing to hang on. But what my plans are, if I was a farmer advisor, is yes, I would somewhere in here between now and Thanksgiving, I pretty well want to be sold up or have underlining put protection underneath the market, and prepare for a winter decline. At that winter decline, then I would want to re-own whatever I wanted to re-own in the 2020 crop. And I'm also looking at, if the market does what I want it to do, I would be reasonably moderately priced on 21 crop. But then my intentions would be then to re-own that with calls during the winter break. So then that would take me back to zero, but I'd have prices put on a heavy percentage of my crop. And then we'll see what spring weather brings, and we'll see what the growing season brings. But I do think we're going to have a pretty hard winter break into the February-March timeframe. So I do want to be a seller of grain here over the next 4 weeks.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. You sleep well tonight, or try to, because tomorrow's USDA October crop production report will arrive at 11 o'clock one way or the other, and that WASDE figure
Well, then I'm gonna know real quick whether I'm an idiot or was a genius.
Yes, we will. We'll talk to you about that next week.
We'll talk about that next week. Okay, Doc.
That's Dan Zwicker. He is with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. In today's agricultural news, a special report from Ag Careers highlights agriculture's workforce and compensation during the coronavirus pandemic. The special report provides a hyper-focus on the most critical components facing agribusiness during COVID-19. The topics include workforce planning, wellness, benefit programs, and compensation practices related to salary administration for 2020 and 2021. The report finds 81% of agribusinesses did not have to make staff changes during the pandemic, and nearly 20% increased hiring of permanent and temporary employees. Now, most agricultural organizations were able to provide consistency regarding salary increases for 2020. Roughly a third of the organizations reported already implementing 2020 increases before the pandemic. A combined 30% of the organizations did report being undecided, delaying, or canceling previously planned increases. Looking ahead to 2021, companies say they'll continue to plan for increases, only 17% indicating it was not likely for salaries to increase. The prevalent estimated salary increase budgeted was 2.6% to 3%. And finally, the National Pork Producers Council says the U.S. Food and Drug Administration has stalled the development of emerging technology with tremendous promise for the livestock industry. The FDA has claimed regulatory jurisdiction over gene-edited livestock and has stalled the technology in the U.S. for more than 2 years, according to NPPC. However, the scientist who invented one of the most promising forms of this technology, the CRISPR genetic scissors, were just awarded the Nobel Prize. NPPC President Howard A.V. Roth states the Nobel Prize award serves notice that, quote, if we don't move oversight of gene-edited livestock to the USDA, we will have ceded this promising technology to global competitors at the expense of American jobs and our nation's global agricultural leadership position, unquote. The National Pork Producers Council has repeatedly called for the U.S. Department of Agriculture to be granted gene-edited livestock regulatory oversight. NPPC says gene editing accelerates genetic improvement that would occur naturally over time by making changes to an animal's own genome. And that's a quick look at today's agricultural news. Mike Tenura is now here from T-Storm Weather in Chicago to discuss what's been happening across the growing regions around the planet. Good afternoon to you, Mike. Thanks for being with us today.
Great being here, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Let's start in South America. They have been delayed, at least in Brazil, getting things started for their growing season because it's just been so darn dry. And that's not really the only nation in that continent that's been dry. Can you give me your perspective on what's happening there?
Well, it's been much drier than normal in most of Argentina, Brazil, and Paraguay over the last 1, 2, and/or 3 month periods. And this basically is telling us two different things. Number one is that the wet season is starting late in central and northern areas of Brazil, and it's indicative of dry to drought conditions everywhere else. So this is a large area to be experiencing dry conditions. A cool front is going to move across Brazil over the next 5 days, and that will bring some thunderstorms to different areas, but we're not looking for heavy rainfall from that setup. It's going to dry out again over the 5 days that follow before the next system comes in. But basically for Brazil and Paraguay, we're only looking for around half of normal rainfall over the next 2 weeks. So this story is not going away. In Argentina, it's the same story in that there's not a lot of rain coming up. There will be a few showers in southern corn, sunflower, and wheat areas this weekend, and then a few more thunderstorms around 10 to 12 days from now. But the way it looks at the moment is like this. There's not much rain coming up, and we're only projecting about half of normal rainfall there as well over the next 2 weeks. So the story in Argentina is also going to linger throughout October. And it's unusual to see this large of an area experiencing dryness because it's such a big area that typically one area is dry and one area is wet. The way it looks now is that they're all going to end up being drier than normal over the next couple of weeks.
Let's move to the United States, to the Midwest, where corn and soybean harvest is underway. How will things continue for the next week or so for producers trying to bring in the crop?
Well, not much is going to happen over the next couple of weeks. We'll see Hurricane Delta move into Arkansas and Louisiana this weekend, and that will then dissipate in Kentucky and Tennessee and maybe scrape parts of Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio. But we don't think that's going to be a major rain producer in the Corn Belt. Separately, a cool front is going to move through on Monday, and that will end the unusually mild weather that we're experiencing now. And we'll see another front move through around 10 days from now, too. But between all of these events, we're looking for drier than normal weather to continue in the Corn Belt without any major rain events on the near or medium term horizon.
Here in the United States, hard red winter wheat should be going into the ground, though producers have had some difficulties because it's been so very dry there. Any relief for them coming?
There's really not. It's highly unusual what's taking place out on the plains. They saw some decent rainfall between September 7th and the 10th, and that's pretty much what they're riding out for soil moisture at the moment. It hasn't rained since then, and it's not going to rain for at least a couple of more weeks. And the coverage of 30-day dryness on the U.S. hard winter wheat crop is going to exceed 90% of expected production from this weekend forward until it rains again. And that will be by far the highest amount of dryness that we've seen in the middle of October at any point in the last 9 growing seasons. So it's very unusual to see this high coverage of dryness at this time of the year on the hard red winter wheat crop. And without any real rain in the forecast, it is a bit of a concern with winter approaching. Probably the even more interesting thing about this is that we're moving into a weak to moderate La Nina at the moment. And historically, the most similar one to the one that's projected was in 1995 and 96. And in that winter, it was unusually dry. And in another similar La Nina, which was in 2005 into 2006, we had the driest winter in the plains in more than 125 years of record. So it's hard to say if this is the start of a repeat of those events, but it certainly is a possibility. And we do have concerns over that crop. Of course, there's still many months to go before we'd be very worried about it. But this is just setting the stage for us needing to watch the weather in the plains.
It appears a similar situation has set up in the Black Sea wheat growing regions. Is that true?
You're absolutely correct. Russia and eastern Ukraine have been much drier than normal over the last 3 months. There's no doubt that they're experiencing a drought. And there's no rain in the forecast over the next couple of weeks. The only saving grace at the moment is that it's also going to be much warmer than normal throughout most of the rest of the month. And so the cold season is not going to arrive early. And that basically means that if we somehow were to get a big rain within the next couple of weeks and it stayed really mild, then maybe you could get out of this situation. But you have to keep in mind that winter is quickly approaching in Russia and in eastern Ukraine. And because of that, the overall risk is much higher than normal going forward. Even parts of western Ukraine would benefit from more rain. Even though they did see some around 10 days ago, they still need more. So this is also a tricky setup. The only thing that's a little bit improved is across the European Union. They saw a lot of rain over the last month or two, and so we don't have a lot of concerns there.
Hey, Mike, thanks so much.
You're welcome. Let's chat next week.
We will indeed. That's Mike Tenura. He's with T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Did you get enough sleep last night? I hope so. 8 hours is what's recommended by the safety specialist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus for everybody and for farmers in particular during the growing season. In fact, they suggest that you take a nap in the afternoon because you're working so darned many hours in the day. So why don't you take some time now for yourself? Go ahead and take a listen to the closing market report, the programming. You can come back and find it again if you happen to fall asleep, willag.org. So shut that machine down, take some time for yourself, and be safe. Get a little shut-eye right now. 20-minute nap will help you get through the end of the day. The other item that I want to make sure you understand is that COVID-19 generally will take people down for about 3 weeks with really serious fatigue. You can't afford that, so mask up when you're in contact with people you don't normally see during the regular day. And by that, I mean the people that live in your house. So the other folks that are with you, make sure you put a mask on and be safe out there the whole time. Matt Bennett now joins us from the farm there in Windsor, Illinois, and agmarket.net to talk about what's happening in the marketplace. Hi, Matt. Thanks so much. How's farming been going this week?
Really good. You know, we should be done with beans by the end of the week, but we've gotten along really well. So it's been a really good week for harvest.
What do you think of the marketplace this week for soybeans? It's been an interesting one.
Looks like the bulls might be getting a little worn out. I would have to think that if you have a bullish report tomorrow and you don't get the kind of close that you want, a person would have to be a little bit wary. But at the same time, there's certainly a lot of great things going on for the soybean market. It's just a matter of trying to keep everything in perspective. So I still think producers need to be rewarding the market. They want to stay long. I have no issue with that. I sure wouldn't want to make a good sale a bad sale, though. So I would want to do it in a limited risk situation.
Why do you think the market's driving higher?
Oh, I think a variety of things. I mean, dryness in South America. I mean, now Brazil's supposed to get some rain, and we know that's going to impact the market. But, you know, you've got that going on. You've got exports. I mean, we had huge announcements again this morning. No doubt about it. There's just a whole host of really good things going on from a demand perspective. While the trade feels like USDA is going to lower the yield tomorrow. If that's verified, I think it would have to be a pretty decent reduction, you know, to really keep the ball rolling right now. But again, a lot of this is going to have to do with the funds. It's going to have to do with what the Chinese decide to do in their purchasing program coming off their holiday.
Corn has been following soybeans higher. What does that market look like for you?
Okay, yeah, I think as far as corn's concerned, I think it can kind of stand alone on its own 2 feet, especially if the USDA comes in with a 2 billion carry. Maybe they dial back yield just a little bit, but USDA is going to have to explain, you know, how many exports we're going to see to China. They're definitely going to have to make some adjustments given what we've seen here happen the last 6 or 8 weeks.
Hey, thanks, Matt. You be safe there on the combine.
Absolutely. Thanks, Todd.
Matt Bennett is with AgMarket.net. Joined us on this Thursday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. I will not be recording Commodity Week this afternoon because tomorrow morning, USDA will update the crop production and WASD reports. We'll wait until after those numbers are out to record our Commodity Week program and then post it to the website at willag.org. You'll hear that program on our home station tomorrow afternoon on many of these radio stations over the weekend. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.